Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. And you notice I prefaced that by saying ladies and gentlemen. That's what I know the Lord expects us to be. And as I said to somebody the other day, you don't have to be nice, but you definitely have to be truthful. And to people who don't want to know the truth, when you tell them the truth, though you may do it as a lady or a gentleman, in language becoming a lady or a gentleman, becoming a Christian, the kind of words that we find in the Bible, don't be surprised that some people say, that's not nice. Well, it is nice. Well, it's a very hot summer, July day, July the 19th, 2020, Anno Domini. We went from practically needing the heat the other night to now having air conditioning when it's jumped by about 30-something degrees. But hey, it's summertime and the sun is shining, little breeze and all that. Well, we're going to ask the wonderful lady, and she is a lady. Not only is she a woman, but she is a lady. My wife, Kathy Lear, to open us in prayer.
Well, Holy Father, we are thankful today. We look out the window at beautiful, bright sunshine, and we see all the many things of your creation. This is an exciting time of the year for many of us who grow things, we have gardens, we see literally the fruit of our labor coming forth. And for those who don't, but perhaps may enjoy farmers markets and other ways of accessing the fresh produce and the bounty of summer, we pray that that would be an uplift in their hearts as well. In spite of all the things going on around us, there are still simple, wonderful, beautiful things that we can enjoy. And Lord, we lift so many up in our country today because we don't put our heads in the sand and pretend that there isn't unrest, because there is. But there doesn't have to be unrest in our hearts. And we can thank you for that, Father. We pray that we would, just as we are exhorted in Scripture, trust in you with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Lord, it's our heart's desire to seek you in all things, and we do that, and we praise you, Lord. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us, that you convict us, and we look forward for the message that you have for us today, that you've given to Pastor Lear. In your name, Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. It isn't amazing. This year, we have a tremendous crop of raspberries in our yard, mint, garlic, our tomatoes, our peppers, our cucumbers, asparagus, all the things we have in our garden, the broccoli, and they don't even know it's a pandemic. What's wrong with them? The birds that come in our bird feeder and so forth and so on, they don't even know it's a pandemic. Oh, that's right. That's stuff they don't know about, but we humans do. Well, let's sing as unto the Lord. Amen. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh, And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields as wide as the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Oh, I just love that song. Yesterday, a little family gathering, a couple of people said to me, it certainly can't be too long before Jesus comes again. I said, it seems like that. And I know that many people right now are saying, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, even so, Lord Jesus, come, get us out of this mess. And the Lord says to you and says to me, I will, but in the meanwhile, I'm going to be with you in the mess. That's important. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praise of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the King rise among us. Let the songs of the King rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let it rise. Oh, rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the love of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. He pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praise to my King. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praise to my King. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Wherever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of my God. The weak say, I am strong in the strength of my God. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from you,
Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. You can be sure of that, dear ones. If you waited on the Lord and you cried out to him, he heard you. You know this one? Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as the matchless king through all eternity. Crown him with many crowns. Crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given, from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou hast died for me. Be thou, O Lord, thou endless days, adored and magnified, adored and magnified. Crown him with many crowns, his glories now we sing. Who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and life lives that death may die. Crown him with many crowns. Crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon his throne. Well, it sort of goes like that. You know, we just piece it together, you know, but the words are tremendous. Crown him with many crowns. And of course, that's biblical. When the 24 elders, bow before the Lord and cast their crowns. And of course, there's a singing group called Casting Crowns. They got their name from Scripture. Okay, for all of you out there that wonder, where do they get their names for this stuff? You know, jars of clay, for example, they get their names from Scripture. Lots of them do. I try to use Scripture on everything that I do. I write it on everything I send out, whether it's a greeting card or whatever, the checks that have Scripture on them. Everything that I do and everything that I have has Scripture on it someplace. Well, in my quips and quotes for today, the name of American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from local discriminations. who said that, the father of our country, the only six-star general ever, George Washington, 1796. In 1963, Swiss Reformed theologian Karl Barth wrote in a letter, "Do not stop testing and correcting your insights by Holy Scripture. Then, being sound in what really counts, you can live and represent a comforted life." Now get the meaning of that, folks. A comforted life. Not a comfortable life, but a comforted life, because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our guide, but he's also our comforter. So when we're speaking the Word of God, when the Word of God dwells richly within us, deep down in our hearts, as Psalm 119, verse 11 says, then we won't sin against God, and we are being comforted in that. In 1800, the birth of Anglican clergyman Matthew Bridges, he's remembered today for authoring the hymn, which we just sang, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Great thing to be remembered for. Neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. Samuel Adams, 1749, I stood in front of his statue 2 weeks ago on Saturday by Faneuil Hall in Boston and said, "Nobody better touch this man's statue. He was a great man, and if you touch his statue, you're touching me, and it won't be pretty." Wow, you're talking kind of tough, aren't you? Yes, I guess I am. Well, nobody touched his statue in a harmful way then. And think about that. Maybe today what we're facing up to, all you people out there, well, it's probably nobody that's listening to my sermon would say this, but all you people out there are saying, don't bring your morality into the public forum. Don't bring morality into government and so forth and so on. Well, the founding fathers did, and if they did, so can I. If Jesus did it, I can do it. If the founding fathers did it, I can do it. Because neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. And you can think for yourself what those corruptions are. I think all the world would gain by setting commerce at perfect liberty. That's a free capitalist society, Thomas Jefferson, 1785. Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Our 30th president, who is that? President Calvin Coolidge. He was one of my favorite presidents. And my family is buried with a lot of his family in Watertown, Massachusetts, where Joseph Coolidge was one of the first people killed in the War for American Independence. But think about what that man is saying. It's so true, because I remember going to a Mensa organization meeting one time. That's people who have well above average, in fact, genius IQs, and asking them what they did for a living. And there was hardly a single one that was doing anything of great significance, really, except resting on the fact that they were geniuses. But of course, once again, let me remind you, nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. And if somebody says, why are you so insistent about what you're doing, and why are you so persistent? Because, in the old axiom, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Good men don't do nothing. Good men do lots of something, said by Edmund Burke. And that is going to be the title of my message today. Good men must do something. In 1753, for those of you that believe we have systemic racism, Lemuel Haynes, and I've looked into this man's life, 1753, prior to the War for American Independence, colonial American congregational clergyman, was born. In 1785, at 2 years after the conclusion of the War for American Independence, at least the first one, the second one was the War of 1812, Samuel Haynes was 32 years old, was ordained to a church in Torrington, Connecticut, making him the first African American to pastor a white church. But we have systemic racism in America. We may have people who are truly racist on all races, but we do not have systemic racism. That is a terminology used by radical Marxist communists to make sure that we're fighting each other and having a circular firing squad. Get that in your thinking. And don't be listening to the news that's telling you that we have systemic racism. And every time you see how many multimillionaires and billionaires that are black in America, if that was so, we had systematic racism, they couldn't be rich. And they're getting rich not just by money provided by other black Americans. In 1876, the American philosopher and essayist Ralph Waldo Emerson noted that great men are they who see the spiritual is stronger than the material. That thoughts rule the world. If that is true, that thoughts rule the world, and I believe it is true, if the thoughts are godly and they are from the Word of God, that's what your thinking should be. That's called a biblical worldview, folks. And that's what you should have. And many Christians, unfortunately, and I hope none of them that are listening to my sermon today are those kind of Christians, have worldly thinking instead of biblical thinking. They have a worldly view instead of a biblical worldview. 1944, German theologian and Nazi martyr. And the Nazis were terrible people. What they did was horrendous. Do you want to protest something? Protest that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote from prison, "The religious act is always something partial. Faith is something whole, involving the whole of one's life. Jesus calls us not to a new religion, but to life." Not a new religion, but to really a new life. Our friend Patrick Wood from Technocracy Today says the Democrats try to sneak Green New Deal through tax code. And of course, that's technocracy by hook or by crook. The green economic growth decoupling is a myth. Use Orwellian doublespeak. Green growth means economic contraction. Sustainable development is also technocracy, and the Great Reset will go down in history as the greatest plundering of global assets ever conducted. Not the first time it's happened, by the way. devalue everything so it's worth pennies on the dollar, and then the people with the pennies, excuse me, the people with the dollars, come in and buy stuff that would have cost them dollars, and they now buy it for pennies. Is Parler the uncensored replacement for Twitter? The social justice cult and other leftists are doing their best to disrupt the new social media platform Parler that is drawing away millions of conservatives from the highly censored Twitter. Parler is the first alternative social media to gain serious traction against Twitter. And I won't read some of the other things except to say that pandemic's collapse of SDGs exposes true goals of sustainable development. Folks, you got to pay attention to what's going on. You're not too poor to pay attention. You've got to pay attention to what is happening in your country. And people are listening to this message in other parts of the world and in your country as well. Well, as I said, I have a theme for you today. I always do. Turn with me in your copy of your Bible to the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalm 19, 14 verses. I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear if she will be one of the readers today, and she will read the first 7 verses, and I'll read the final.
Psalm 19, verses 1 through 7 from the English Standard Version. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 7 from the English Standard Version.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare the innocent from hidden faults. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 14 in the English Standard Version. When I was a boy in the Episcopal Church, and I'll admit to you where it was, in Lexington, Massachusetts, the church was named Church of Our Redeemer. Now that's a great name for a church, isn't it? The pastor there, Reverend Harold Hanley, talked like an Englishman, and honestly I thought he was until many years later when I found out he was born and raised in Swampscott. He'd spent time in England and studied and so forth, but he was from Swampscott, a beautiful place in Massachusetts. He also had the white tricorn, or as we say, the white tricon, which is a great honor for any Lexingtonian to receive. And he marched in the parades every year for Patriots Day on April 19th. But I remember so well, being as young as I was, and I was chapel vestry, and I was confirmed in that church, giving an oration of the Apostles' Creed, word for word, with enthusiasm, which I actually got a hand clap from everybody in the church, and the church was quite big at the time. But I remember very little about Harold Handley's sermons, but I do remember so often the last part of his sermon would say, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Verse 14 of Psalm 19. Now, was Harold Handley a saved Christian? I can tell you, in knowing the man as I did, and I knew him pretty well, both socially and church-wise, he was the rector of the church, he was my pastor, he was a mentor to me, he also came, he'd been the person that married my mother and father in the old church, which was very tiny at the time. In fact, when I first started, the church was very tiny, and then the church became very prominent and built a big church. But I believe he was a saved man, because as I think back in my mind, the things he said, the things he did, only a saved man would repeat that verse over and over again, so that a person who is now 72 years of age would remember it so well, and that person is me. A lot of times he used to tell me how proud he was of me and so forth, and he was a great guy. He wasn't a huge fellow as far as stature or anything, but he was very, very well respected. In fact, people knowing that I attended that church and so forth would always mention Reverend Handley. I said that the theme for today in the message is "The Only Thing Necessary for Evil to Triumph is for Good Men to Do Nothing" by Edmund Burke. And Edmund Burke, by the way, was not an American. He was an Englishman at the time of the War for American Independence. And we grabbed off that because we were looking for truth, and we always, and as far as I'm concerned, when I see truth, I don't care whether it's an Englishman or an American patriot or a Frenchman or a German or whoever said it. If it's true, it's true, and I'd be glad to give them the credit. But for the theme today, I want this to be the theme. Good men, and I'm not making this gender specific, so let me clarify that by saying good people. Good people must, I didn't say should, good people must do something. And if you're having trouble, good people, knowing what the good something you should do is, just ask me. I will be glad to tell you. Let me give you, for instance, I use the social media, mostly Facebook. I don't have the time, I don't have the staff, the help that I need to be able to do more than that, really. Now use it as a forum to post good things and bad things. Recently, posting about polyamory, which honestly I had to look it up to make sure I understood what it meant. It's not a good thing. And of course, all the new things coming down, I shouldn't say new, all these new things are not new at all. They're the same old sins, just rehashed and put into a different package, are coming back upon us. And I'm getting trashed repeatedly by the very perverse people involved in those perversions, saying, what kind of a person am I to say what love really is? What kind of a person I am? Well, a kind of person that recites the Bible by scripture and verse with a biblical worldview and can tell you the history of all these perversions and what these perversions have done to every society that became plagued with them. And you want to talk about a pandemic, folks? How about talking about the pandemic of homosexuality? It's filthy. It's literally filthy from a health perspective. And if you don't believe me, ask somebody who will tell you the truth, who's a doctor or works in the emergency room or whatever else. And by the way, did you know I am not a homophobe? I don't hate anybody. I hate anybody's sin, whether it be my sin or anyone else's sin. And according as we have read here today in the scripture, and we need to remind people, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Reviving the soul. It says so in verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is true and is sure, making wise the simple. If you are simple and you are doing these things according to the Lord, then you're going to be very wise. So what do you need to do? Because our theme today is, why does evil triumph? It triumphs because good people do nothing. But good people, if they're really good people, according to the Bible and according to God's word, that's who determines what a good person is. A pervert is not somebody who determines what a good person is, because a pervert thinks other perverts are good people. But who determines what a good person is? The Bible does. Jesus does. The Word of God does. Moreover, for by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. You want a great reward? I want a great reward. And don't think I'm saying a great reward in money. Although that would certainly be nice too. Because I really do know how to use it in a righteous way for righteous things and good causes. But what is that great reward that the Lord promises us? He says, first of all, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. And I'm going to challenge you in your homework this week, look up what presumptuous means. Because there are sins of commission, sins of omission. Oh, are we talking about sins? Are we not supposed to do that anymore? I think we've been told, don't talk about that anymore. Nothing's a sin. But then, let them not have dominion over me. And I refuse to let dominion be held over me by perverts and people living perverted lives. And there are lots of them. And there are various perversions and inversions and diversions. One of them, of course, is the fact there's false religions. That's a perverse thing too. That's a perversion. You take the true religion, which is in this Bible, and you pervert it. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Now there is some real benefit here. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. You know that all people, when he's talking about gold, wow, the lust for money, the desire for money. And by the way, did you know that the love of money is the root of all evil? Yes, we need money, but you're not supposed to love it. Because if you love it, you'll fall into all kind of problems. And so we have a great comfort from the Lord. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Many people these days are having trouble rejoicing. Why is that? You have to ask yourself if you're having trouble rejoicing. I'm rejoicing even in the midst of all the perversion I see, all the perversion that's tried to be packed on to me, forced on to me, and getting me to agree to it, and in political parties. And I make no bones about telling people I'm a lifelong Republican. But what kind of Republican am I? A biblical Republican? A constitutional Republican? A traditional Republican? These days, people are saying, well, the Republican Party is too straight. And so they bring about all these different perverted groups into Republican Party, the big tent idea. Let me tell you, if your tent is so big that it's filled with perverts, that's a dangerous tent to live in. And it's not because we hate anybody, but what is it that causes us to rejoice in our hearts? Because we live by the precepts of the Lord. Are you getting the message here, folks? I hope I'm explaining it well enough in the little bit of time that I have to do this. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men, people, to do nothing. But according to the Bible, good people do something. Don't tell me you don't know something to do that's good. There's at least a plethora. If you don't know what that means, look it up. I always give homework assignments and challenge you with a few words that you might have to look up in the dictionary or the Bible concordance or whatever else. Plethora of good things, good somethings you can do. As I've often said, there's only one thing I cannot do and please the Lord in doing it. Do you have the answer? If you're listening to this message and you're really following along, I've been giving you the feather, but I guess I need to give you the point. The one thing you cannot do is nothing. And what's the consequences of doing nothing? You won't have the great reward of the Lord. We sang the song, Casting Crowns. You won't have a crown with anything in it to cast upon the Lord. Whether that's imagery or whether it's a metaphor or whether it's literal, I won't go into that. I'll just say you won't have one. But the Lord wants you to have one. He does not want you to do nothing. He wants you to do something. If you have no legs to walk on, then do it in your wheelchair. If you only have one arm, then do it with one arm. If you only have one eye, do it with one eye. If you can't see, then do it even in your sightlessness. And I am not making light of any of those terrible things that could happen to people. But there have been great people who in their troubled circumstances have had great rejoicing in the Lord and accomplished great things. They said, there's certainly something I can do. And they asked the Holy Spirit. Like I said, if you don't know what to do, ask me. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I can tell you what you can do, and I can give you a list of it from the Bible. But better yet, if you pray and say, Lord, I want to do something. I want to give something. What can I give? What do I have to give? What's the something you want me to do? And I always remind people, the Lord gives people faith if people want to receive the faith that the Lord gives them. And then once they receive that faith, the Lord shows them how they can put their faith into action. And action with faith knows no defeat. Action with faith knows no defeat. Faith in what? Faith in the Lord, faith in His Word, faith in His precepts, faith in His laws, faith in His ideals. This morning, briefly in talking with my wife, I said about somebody who's trying to take me apart and slander me and intimidate me and whatever, which I told him, don't even waste your time, it's not going to work. I said, you know what's going to happen to this person? They're going to implode. Because they're so filled with hate and bitterness and anger that when that bubble is burst, or that is vented off, they'll implode. We do not move in anger. We're not filled with anger. And if you are filled with anger, and I know people talk about righteous indignation and so forth, and that's a subject for another time. But filled with the love of the Lord and loving His laws, loving His precepts so much, you won't implode, and by the way, you won't explode, but you will definitely expand. Do we want to see the kingdom of God expanded? Yes. And when we do something instead of nothing, the kingdom of God expands. The communist Chinese want to expand their territory. The Russians want to expand their territory. And I guess America wants to extend its territory too. Most countries do. And they argue over borders and all this kind of stuff. But the Lord wants to, His territory is without borders. His territory is the whole universe. So He definitely wants to expand. And He wants to use you. Gentlemen. You ladies. Yes, and you children. He wants to use you also. And this is my prayer in closing. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen.